Betsy and Molly had an aesthetic moment, and they have recreated the front of our facility. And so when you go out today, instead of going out the hallway, go out the door and around to the front to the parking lot, and you'll see all the good work that they've done. Anybody recognize the front at all? We usually come in this way so you don't see it. So just take a detour and go outside, and they made it look pretty around here. That's a good deal. Get a little color. My wife says a little color changes everything. I used to only have black, and she bought me a blue shirt. So pretty will make it better, okay? Next Sunday at 9, if you could be on the square, it'd be really good. There are two things. One is the community seeing the church, a whole church in the area together for that service. It's just important. And the thing I like about it, I kind of revamped this a little bit since I've been here and working with the Ministerial Association and stuff, is because the vendors can't go anywhere, and we get to preach the gospel to them, and they got to listen. That's really my whole thing. And they're just sitting there, and they go, well, I got to make money today, so I got to sit here. And we're up there smiling, going, Jesus is amazing. They never heard that before, and so it's a good day, all right? And plus, we need you to sing real loud so that it impresses them. Nah, that part doesn't matter, but your loud worship does. Okay. A couple of things I want to talk about, and I want to do an interactive for the first 10 minutes or 7, something like that, is a couple of scriptures I want to bring to your mind. And I realize this. Do you know that in reality, I cannot teach you anything spiritual? And I was looking on my shelf. I have about 1,000 books in my library. I've even read some of them. I have read portions of most of them, and some of them I've read all the way to bottom, okay? And I have spent a lifetime accumulating spiritual knowledge about the Bible and about God. But I'm very aware of this one thing. I cannot teach you anything. Do you know that Jesus himself sat, you have God himself, the Word, explaining the Word, and would teach, and people would sit in the back, and the only goal they had was to criticize what he was saying. Anybody ever raised a teenager before? No, all teenagers aren't like that, just mine. No, my kids are all really good. That's why I joke about it, because I know they're going to get mad at me because they're good kids. All right, they might get mad at me, but here's the truth. You can have absolute truth, and people will kill to shut up that truth. We've seen that recently in our culture. They came, Jesus is talking, they came to sit in the back to criticize what he had to say. While somebody else, life, in the same sound, same words, somebody else's life will be changed forever. I want to be changed forever, not critical, right? Don't you? Okay. Now, there, and this is in the Bible, is that no man can teach you anything. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you. Does that make sense? But now he will use a man to do it. And the Bible even says he gives gifts of teachers. And if a teacher has a gift, the teacher might have a gift, but if they don't develop their gift, or their gift is at level A, then there'll be somebody else. They really try to develop their gift, but as the gift came from God, and they developed it as best they could, and you won't learn a thing unless the Holy Spirit teaches you. Now, here's what I don't like. You could have... let me just say wife. I pick on my wife because she won't get mad at me. You guys will get mad at me for picking on her, but she won't get mad at me, okay? I got to live with her. If you're mad at me, I get to go home. But she won't be mad at me, okay? I could have a wife, and my wife does study the Bible, and we even study the Bible together. She's never studied the Bible. She does not have the gift of teaching. I walk in, and my wife could say something. The Holy Spirit could use my wife. She speaks, and what she has to say would actually teach somebody something. And they would go, oh, that was amazing, right? I've had it happen. People call, and they'll go, I have this and this and this problem. And I go, okay, let's pray. And they go, oh, no, I was calling you, so you would tell Molly. Now, and here's the truth. Please hear me. Now the Holy Spirit can use her word. All of a sudden, it comes alive. You guys have had this happen with your kids. You'll say something 100 times. They don't hear a word. You have to say, and their next door neighbor's cousin, sister's brother will say it, and they'll come home and go, "Most amazing thing in the world they said," right? And let me say two things, just to illustrate. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach. But it may be the foundation of what you said enabled them to hear it that last time. I was talking to a friend this week, a young man, and his dad and I were really good friends. And his dad was one of the best golfers in our community, and his son wanted to learn to golf. But his son would go to other people to learn to golf because dad was just not the best teacher for him, if I can say it like that. And we were talking about it, and his dad would get so frustrated. He goes, that boy wants to learn how to golf. I'm the best golfer in this town, and he'll go to somebody else for them to teach him how to. And his dad's passed now. But we were talking on the phone, and we were just so laughing. And here's what the kid said. It said, dad was natural. And he said, Dad would just hit the ball and there'd go. He said, I couldn't do it. I had to be technical. And dad was trying to take natural and teach me technical. I couldn't learn it at all. But when I got away from dad, I learned how to hit the ball. And then, but here's what he said. I would have never liked golf, and he can play well, and would have never learned to play well if dad hadn't taught me what dad taught me. Now, how about if there was a cosmic regenerative, is that a word? Make it better. Restorative. How about if there was a cosmic redemptive genius that could go, I'll use this information, that information, that information, bring it together and teach you about who Christ is. Would that be good? I got some good news for you. That's exactly the way it is. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will use the cumulative to reveal Christ to us in three ways. I want to talk about those three ways. My wife and I pray this over you guys. Those three ways, three revelations of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to have you practice, because here's what I know. Is when you practice as trying to learn teaching and how it works and all that kind of thing, if you practice something, it will actually embed it in your memory, and you won't forget it by the time you get to the parking lot. It'll be at least the square before you forget it, and maybe between the parking lot and the square, something will go in deep, okay? But here's the amazing, and I want you to think about this happening to you. You learn something one time. Then you're in a situation, you might be in that situation a year later, 6 months later, 10 years later, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, who's the great reminder in the Bible, one of the things he does is remind us of those things Jesus says. You'll go, I remember learning this lesson long ago. Has anybody ever had that happen? You'll be in a situation, you'll go, oh no, I remember long ago. Here's the answer to that. So what the Holy Spirit will do, and we're going to invite, say, Holy Spirit, you please be the instructor today, is he'll gather from all, he's a redemptive genius that will gather from all avenues to teach us, and then he will remind us of what. Sometimes my wife gives me a list in the morning. I just need a reminder. So she knows that. And so she'll tell me in the morning, and then she'll text me later in the day. Come on. I know there are other men in the room that have the same problem. And all of a sudden, I'll get the text, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I remember to do that. Yeah. Did you remember to? Yeah, exactly, I remember to, right when you sent me that text. How about if you had the Holy Spirit that he could say, it is on the front of my mind all the time, everything I've ever taught you, when you get in a circumstance, not only am I the great teacher, I'm the great reminder, huh? And so we want to say, Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us today, and we need you to remind us. Here's three revelations he's going to give you that we'll use the Apostle Paul. He teaches us a lot about the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And here's what he said. Christ was revealed to me. Well, who was it that revealed Christ to him? If you'll say the Holy Spirit, you'll be right. Who was it that revealed Christ to him? It was the Holy Spirit. How was Christ revealed to Paul? Does anybody remember that? It was a pretty dramatic encounter. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing right. He had memorized the Bible. He was a Sanhedrin. He had with the Sanhedrin, he sat on the court, okay? Does anybody remember how Christ was revealed to the Apostle Paul? He's driving his motorcycle. He's riding his Harley into Damascus. No, he's riding his horse into Damascus. I'm making an upgraded story. He's riding his horse into Damascus. What happened? Knocked off. How was he knocked off his horse? There were two things that knocked him off his horse. Do you remember what they were? One was light, and two was. Yeah, you're exactly right. One was light, one was sound, a voice. He was knocked off his horse by a light and a voice. The voice was a word. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the word of God. So he has an encounter with Christ. Light, it's noonday in the desert. That's a lot of light that hits you so hard, knocks you off a horse, noonday in the desert, right? And he goes, my whole life, he got knocked off his hobby, his high horse, got tipped over on his hobby horse, and woke up to a new life in Christ. Isn't it true? How long did it take Paul to get converted? That he actually has this encounter with God for 3 days. How long did it take him? And I'm going to call this one getting saved. How long did it take him to get saved? Because here's what we know. What did he call Jesus? Who are you, Lord? Guys, watch this. It takes one encounter to get saved. Here's what I want you to know. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge of the Bible that have never had an encounter with God. That was Paul. He had knowledge of the Bible. He had never had an encounter with God. Because of knowledge of the Bible, he had come up with what the Bible meant. And now he's walking a way that seems right to men that ends in destruction. And everything that he would say, I got a scripture to back that one up. He knew the Bible, but did he know God? Here's what you have to have. You have to have an encounter with God. Who's going to bring that encounter? Same question. There you go. It's the same. Whenever I ask today, you just say, Holy Spirit, you'll be right. You'll get 10 on your checks. And then in heaven, God's going to give a star. When you get to heaven, you're going to get a star for getting all the answers right today. And they're all going to be the same. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brings encounter. Watch three types of revelation. One is he goes, the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to me. Now, here's what I know. I can preach here till I'm blue in the face. I might even say some good stuff. I can do it all day long, I promise you. I've been in Africa where they didn't care how long we were there. I have preached in the pulpit, stood in the pulpit 10 hours in a day before. 2 hours, two and a half hours, then go at a leading. And I promise you, without a note, I know I've done it, I can talk about the Bible for 10 hours without stopping. I can go longer than that, but my voice won't, okay? And here's what I know. You could sit there the whole 10 hours, walk away, and not know one thing I said. Molly could say one word, the Holy Spirit could anoint that word, and your life could be changed. It's not about the gift or the knowledge of one human to another human. It is about God encountering the hearer and the speaker. It's a little bit more interesting if a guy's anointed. It's really bad when they're not. I've had to listen to me unanointed. It is not fun. So Christ is A, revealed to me. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and he draws by the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want you to look at somebody and say, may Christ be revealed to you. Find the most un-Christ-like person you know and just say it to them right now, and then I'll just sit here and have the fun of knowing who you think's not like Jesus. No. No, just look around at somebody. It's just a great blessing. May the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to you. You just pick a victim. It don't matter. Don't matter who you say it to. All of us need Christ revealed to us. Poor Bo. Everybody over there is pointing at Bo. Bo must be the least Christ-like guy we know. No, I'm kidding. So the Apostle Paul, guys, watch. He goes from being willing to kill for Christ to willing to die for Christ in one encounter. He goes, and I can prove it to you, because he has this encounter. He goes to the little town. God sends a Holy Spirit sends a guy. Guy prays for him. He starts seeing. He starts preaching. And what were the Jews going? This morning, Paul is killing Christians. This evening, he is one. 3 days later, he walks out of that house. And now, he is preaching the Christ he was willing to kill for. And what did the Jews, say they were going to do? It's in the Bible. Jews said, we're going to kill you. We're going to shut you up. And Paul's like, no, I'm going to stay. And the guy said, Paul, chill out. You need to go. And they, by the Spirit, they let him out. Other times, they don't say chill out. My favorite place, one of my favorite places in the book of Acts, is the city of Lystra. Say Lystra so you can remember it. Apostle Paul's preaching. They said, we'll kill you. He preaches to them. They take stones and stone him until he is unconscious. Paul himself, talking about the experience, goes, I don't know if I was dead or not. He goes, I think I might have been dead because my spirit actually went to heaven. I got information. God's told me not to talk about this information. I got information from God. He goes, I don't know. I was caught up in the third heaven. I don't know if I was dead or alive. But then he comes back too. He's outside Lystra, gates of Lystra, broken stuff, scars, his bleeding, have been unconscious, possibly dead. And this is in the book of Acts. And he somehow, I don't know how he did it, he crawled back into town and he spent the night there. You ain't driving me out, right? He spent the night there. Then it says he gets up in the morning and leaves. And I'm going, dude, why didn't you just leave from there? Why did you go back? Huh? Can you say bold? Huh? You think he's scared to die for the gospel? So Jim, watch. He's killing Christians. He has an encounter with God. On the other end of that encounter with God, he doesn't have to pray for boldness. He doesn't have to ask to overcome anything. That encounter transformed him from one man into another man. Why? Because Christ was revealed to him, and Christ is the only source of redemption and life there is in the world. And Christ was revealed to him. Huh? Anybody think that somebody might need Christ revealed to them? Do you think that'd be a good prayer? Anybody ever prayed this prayer? God be with me. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? I'm going to poke at you for a minute. Do you know that that prayer can't be answered? Sorry. So here's what the Bible says. When I pray and I see an answer, it creates joy. Does that make sense? It's in the Bible. It's It's in John 17 that there are prayers. When I pray, God answers the prayer, and then I'm joyous because God answered the prayer. Now watch, Molly and I came together from our house here today in my truck. On the way, I said, Molly, would you be with me today? Can that be answered? Why? She's already with me. So when I pray, God, will you be with me today? Am I going to get the joy of answered prayer? No. He's already with me. That can't be answered. Watch this. How about if I pray this? Molly, I'm grateful you're here. It's just good to have your pretty little face with me on my way to church. And now all of a sudden, both of us are. Now, can that prayer be answered? Yes. Can I delight in somebody that's with me? Yes. Now watch Paul. Watch Paul. From that moment that Christ is revealed to him and he goes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. From that moment, God is never apart from him. From that moment until 2,000 years later, the Apostle Paul is in heaven today, and he has never been separate from God from that prayer when Christ was revealed to him. Woo! So I'll just keep picking on Dennis for a minute because he's my friend. Dennis is an unbeliever in my story right now, okay? And I pray, Jesus, would you do something to save Dennis? You know what Jesus would say to me? I have already done everything I can to save Dennis. How about if I prayed this? Holy Spirit, would you reveal Christ to Dennis? Can that prayer be answered? You think that might be a good prayer to pray for somebody that does not yet know Christ? It's say, Holy Spirit, would you reveal Christ to them? That's not even a bad prayer to pray for somebody like me that has studied the Bible for 4 decades, tried hard to go after Christ. I promise you there's still things about Jesus I don't know. Would that be a good prayer to pray for your pastor? And I'm setting myself up for good blessing. I'm saying, when you pray, pray that for me. Father, for our pastor, would you send the Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you reveal Christ to our pastor? That'd be a good prayer. From somebody lost like Dennis to a super saint pastor like me, would it be a good prayer to pray? Jesus needs to encounter our pastor with fresh revelation of who he is. Do you think that wouldn't be a bad prayer at all? I'll take it. Everybody here, pray that one. May Christ be revealed to me. Okay? Now, here's number two. This is Galatians 1, if you want to write it down, Galatians 1:16. And here's what Paul says. It pleased God who set me apart from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me. So the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is reveal Christ. Come on, what is it? To me. The second thing he will do is reveal Christ in me. To me until I get born again. After I get born again, now I need Christ to be revealed in me. D.L. Moody, a hero of mine of the faith, great preacher, and here's what he said. If I don't pray for one day, I know it. And he was a big mass crusade preacher. He said, if I don't pray for 2 days, my wife knows. He said, if I don't pray for 3 days, everybody knows. You know what they were saying? Now, here's what he was saying. I have relationship with God. when I'm in communion with God, is stirring up that relationship. And what's happening is the Christ that was external has now become the Christ that's internal. And whenever Christ is being revealed in me, other people can see it. Anybody think that might be true? Okay, let me do the negative. When your wife's not quite right with God and she's not flowing really good, can you recognize that it's just not quite? You guys aren't happy today. You're not laughing at me good. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Does that make sense? Christ is revealed. One is what? To me. Number two, may he be revealed in me. Okay, now, just the next person. You guys, leave Bo alone this time. Let the boy have a break. No, I'm kidding. Turn to somebody else and just bless them. May Christ be revealed in you. The only reason I'm doing this, so you remember, they'll take the blessing, but you'll remember it, because you'll go, what was it that I did? The Holy Spirit will go, you remember that service? Here's a good way to pray. When you did that, and you prayed that Christ would reveal to them, and then what's the second one? Christ would be revealed through them, or in them. And in number three, I gave you number three. Number three is the Holy Spirit, that Christ would be revealed through me. My tongue got tangled up and I couldn't see what I was saying. Huh? Christ revealed to me. Christ revealed in me. Christ revealed through me. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of life-giving water. You get to, as a believer, walk into environments and change environments because of who Christ is in you. And I call it the thermostat or the thermometer. A thermometer on the wall will tell you what the temperature is. A thermostat will change it. A lot of people walk into environments like thermometers and they go, it's not, it's not, it's not, it's not. This isn't a spiritual place, that isn't a good place, that people around here are mean, whatever. Can I tell you a funny joke? Guy gets ready and he's talking to his mom. His mom's saying, we got to go to church. And he goes, I don't want to go to church. And she says, get ready, we got to go to church. And he goes, no, I don't want to go to church. People down there don't like me. They never listen to anything I say. Every time they make fun of me, I don't want to go to church. And his mom says, you need to get up and get your suit on and get to church. You're the pastor. That kind of a pastor, when he walks into the environment, he's a thermometer. He goes, don't like, don't like, don't like. There's another kind of Christian like the Apostle Paul that when he walks into an environment, the environment starts changing because Christ is not only revealed to him, Christ is revealed in him, and now Christ is revealed through him. Because he's in the environment, things are changing. Okay. Now find the most unlike person. No, I'm kidding. Now, just turn to somebody else. You've already blessed two or three people. You can even point your pointer across the room if you want to and just aim at somebody and just bless them. May Christ be revealed through you. And he's so good. The Holy Spirit is so good, he can use anybody. So don't take anybody out of your mind. May Christ be revealed through you. Good? All right. I'll give you 3 points and a poem. No, 3 points and a story. A story yesterday, one of my kids called me. I want to tell you a story. Anybody ever, he's called me back. That is just like crazy. I just told you my kid texted me, and he just texted me while I was telling you it. Anybody ever skip rocks with your kids? When you have 4 boys, and you go potentially and intentionally to skip rocks on a river. We went down the river. You don't know what's going to happen. What it starts out as, who can skip the rock the most? How many most? My kids are rookies. I'm the champion at that one. I'm just saying. But and then it's who can throw a rock the farthest. And then it's who can throw the biggest rock. And then it's who can make the biggest splash. So we would start off like this, And then we're going to find boulders, and sometimes you get the little ones to help you to beat the big ones, and we're throwing boulders. And when the boulder hits and it splashes, guess what the ripple does? Yeah. And the splash is here. How far does the ripple go? And Tom, this is amazing. Is when Christ is revealed to you, Christ is revealed in you. One of the ways Christ is revealed through you is praying. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. As you come into an environment and you pray, and your prayer might seem like it's terrible to you, but you pray this simple little best you can prayer, and the redemptive genius of a mighty God will energize that prayer, and the ripples will go out into ways you cannot believe. So here's where I'm going to end this preach in about an hour or so. Now, here's where I'm going to end this preach. Is pray the prayer and trust the ripple. Just pray the prayer, trust the ripple. Because what you'll do is you'll pray the prayer and you'll go, I didn't see the ripple, I'm going to give up. And what the Holy Spirit will say, you keep praying the prayer, the ripple will keep coming, and I'll jump in the ripple and cause there to be great power on the other end of your simple prayer. Because it's not your prayer that has the power, it's the answerer that has the power. And simple prayers touch a mighty God, and a mighty God gives great answers to little bitty prayers. Isn't that amazing? And the ripple will go beyond what you can control. I cannot control God's timing. I've tried to help him. I've gave him all kinds of hints. I've sent him letters. I've had him look at the clock, and I still cannot control God's timing. Nor can I control the power in which the ripple will hit. Does that make sense? Okay, let's just jump on that for a minute. The Apostle Paul and Silas are in jail. We've talked about it for a month, maybe five times over the last couple of months. Where were they? Where were they? Inner? What were they in? Shackles. What did they do, Tom? They prayed. Just guys beat up in the dark, in a difficult, caught in addiction, would be the color for some people. I don't know what I can do. I don't know how to do. I'm just going to cry out to God. Here's one of the greatest prayers you can pray. I've heard crazy preachers. Can I be mean? I've heard stupid preachers that say that prayer don't matter. And I go, dude, you're stupid. The word in the Bible is foolish. I've upgraded it to English. When people go, God, I don't know you're out there, but if you are. And preacher goes, well, I didn't have any faith. And I go, you're stupid. God has answered more, God, if you're out there, prayers, than you will ever know. And the Bible says, let everyone who has breath, let them give praise to God. So if you're breathing and you pray, God, if you're out there, God will answer that prayer. They're not a God, are you out there? Paul's sitting in a prison having had the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to him, reveal Christ in him, and now it doesn't matter where you are once Christ is in you, Christ can flow through you. So he's in the worst circumstance any human could ever think of, and he prays a little prayer. And daggone if a great big old God doesn't answer a simple prayer. And a white guy can't preach it, but I heard an African-American pastor preach it one time. He said, Paul and Silas got to singing, and God got to tapping his foot, and an earthquake happened. Well, that's right there in the Bible. I go, that's the best interpretation. I don't care Hebrew. That's the best interpretation I've ever heard. They pray a simple prayer. God gives a big answer. And you know what they did? They prayed and trusted the ripple. Now, all the chains fall off everybody. All the doors are open. What did the jailer do? Anybody remember that one? He's hopeless, so he's going to commit suicide. He's about to kill himself. Paul and Silas said, don't kill yourself. Then where'd they spend that night? Jailer's house. Huh? What happened to the jailer's family? They told him, believe Christ, you'll be saved and all your family. And he goes, well, come home with me then. They preached the gospel to his family. Family got saved. Paul and Silas, watch this. The jailer gave them a shower, washed them off, washed their feet. Jailer says, come to my house, have a shower. They have a shower, they come out, and they baptized his family. You know what that became, Jim? That became the church at Philippi. A couple years later, a decade or so later, Paul is in prison in Rome, writes back to the church at Philippi. Let me tell you what he writes. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, on earth, under the earth, such as are seen, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How many people think that's an amazing? Let this mind be in you, it's also in Christ Jesus. That not robbery with God, let it condescend, it humbled himself, become obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. How many people think that's ever been heard anywhere in the world? How about this one? I can do all things through. Yeah, Seth Curry wanted to put that on a pair of tennis shoes. Nike said, we will not put Christian language on our tennis shoes. Seth Curry said, I'll just go to another company. And he did. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Pray and trust the ripple. That saying went into the nations of the earth on a Christian man's tennis shoe. I'll go through 10 more. I'll save you the time. Here's what I want you to know. Paul and Silas are in prison. They prayed a little prayer. The ripple hit a jailer. The jailer went to his family. The family became a church. Paul later writes a letter to that church, and that ripple called the book of Philippians, has went through 2,000 years, and billions of people have been influenced by a guy in jail, beat up with chains on, prays a little prayer that starts a ripple, and the ripple goes to the ends of the earth and throughout eternity. I got 4 more hours of preaching, but I'm going to stop right here. And here's going to be my encouragement. That is not natural. It is not human. The human said the prayer. God gave the answer. The human said the prayer because Christ was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. You need an encounter with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I need him revealed to me. I need him revealed in me, and I need him to be revealed through me. When he is revealed through me, one of those methods is to pray. When I pray, he answers. Here I am in my little bitty circumstance. It's small to the world, but it's seen by God. I pray my prayer, and I trust the ripple. The greatest prayer that can be prayed. As I confess my sins, I give you my life. I invite you, come into my life and be my Savior. And the Holy Spirit will say, let me just take the revelation of Christ, reveal it to you, reveal it in you, reveal it through you. We're going to pray. If you need prayer, we'll be standing down here. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that three. It's not new to me. We pray this every day. I'm going to pray that 3-point prayer over us as a congregation. And my prayer is that you'll be strengthened with might in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit to just pray the prayer trust the ripple. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We recognize you're among us. We thank you for being here today. We thank you for the revelation of Christ. And now I'm praying that you would give encounter where Christ in his life would be revealed to us. I'm praying that you would cause Christ to be revealed to those that don't know him and to us that do. Shades of who he is, ever unfolding. Let him come through the darkness of our own circumstances, I pray. I'm asking Christ be revealed to us, that he would be revealed through us. He would be revealed in us. Father, I'm praying that where darkness is confining, controlling, holding, and hurting, that you would break through it by the power of Christ's name. Praying that the Holy Spirit would come now, shine into the darkness of our minds and even our blind spots. Illuminate Christ to us. May his light enlighten us in the inner man. I'm praying that you would pierce hearts, that the mind and the emotion would be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit as you reveal Christ to us. Pray for those gathered in this room today or in circumstances, situations that they need broken out of, that by your power, you would bring the freedom of your spirit. Pray you'd bring hope. We're asking that you would bring healing and restoration and blessing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. If you want